From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The recent testimonies of two leading government scientists, Dr. Rick Bright at the House and Dr. Anthony Fauci at the Senate this week, offered a stark assessment of just how seriously the Trump White House is ignoring the advice of experts in its coronavirus response. The Trump administration's claims are so ludicrous and contradictory that they're dizzying. Testing is not important, except for White House staff who are tested daily. Tests are available to everyone who needs them, but too much testing can lead to too many infections. The U.S. should expect 100,000 people to die, but the official death toll has apparently been greatly exaggerated, and on and on. With so much chaos, confusion, and denial of science and reality emanating from the nation's top leadership, Americans are essentially left to their own devices to navigate the world's worst health crisis in a century. My guest is Anita Desikan. She is a research analyst with the Center for Science and Democracy at the Union of Concerned Scientists. Welcome to the program, Anita.
Thank you for having me.
So I imagine that scientists at your organization, the Union of Concerned Scientists, are watching with horror over the past 2 months of the Trump administration undermining scientists and science. But this was, of course, part of a longer trend of pushing out science and science-based information and recommendations at the White House, right?
That is correct. We at the Union of Concerned Scientists have been following attacks by the administration on various aspects of science. This is censoring scientists, burying reports, all manners of dismissing, honestly, vital scientific advice for the last 3 years. 140 attacks we've found. And this pattern is exacerbated under the current pandemic when people's lives are literally on the line.
So looking at the testimony by Dr. Rick Bright at the House on Thursday, what do you make of his assessment that he basically says the U.S. is running out of time to deal with this virus? He talked about how his pleas to increase production of personal protective equipment very early on went completely ignored, and that he was essentially pushed out because he questioned the Trump administration's promotion of a highly suspect and untested drug, hydroxychloroquine, to treat coronavirus. Were you heartened, at least I should say, to hear a scientist be this honest finally?
Well, I'm definitely heartened to hear federal scientists able to speak on these issues. Unfortunately, the circumstances that Dr. Bright was speaking under was due to a whistleblower complaint after being demoted and reassigned in a likely retributionary manner by the Department of Health. It is frustrating to hear that the White House isn't preparing for the pandemic. Things like personal protective equipment, masks, gloves, face shields, these are things that healthcare workers quite literally need for their survival and other essential workers need for their survival. It is a very well predicted that when a pandemic or another type of outbreak occurs, you need more of these. You need to up the production of them. And the White House is not enacting any of these things. It's also incredibly distressing to hear that the primary reason that Dr. Bright was demoted in such a public and rather insulting manner was due to a misinformation on a particular drug, hydroxychloroquine. This is an anti-malarial drug that has shown some promise in certain early studies, but has not seemed to pan out as a potential COVID treatment. And yet the administration is pushing this drug, which, mind you, can be fatal with people with certain types of heart conditions. And mind you, other people need for their, people who have lupus, people who have types of arthritis, need for their types of medication as well. They basically want to corner the market so that everyone will be asked to take this drug that seems to have doesn't yet have the full efficacy of very strong randomized control trial to show whether it actually works. And the idea that the administration was pushing this disinformation type of campaign to the point that a federal scientist had to be have to face such severe consequences is distressing on a level I can't even begin to describe.
And on the same day that Bright was giving his testimony, Trump continued pushing hydroxychloroquine in remarks to reporters. He said, you know, something to the effect of, a lot of very good people have said that this is a great drug. I mean, he is still pushing this same drug, which, based upon his advice, some of his supporters have fatally overdosed on this drug after they took it, thinking that it could help them. I want to turn back to something else that Dr. Bright said, which was his warning about the need to ensure healthcare workers were properly outfitted. The fact that the United States had such a scarcity of PPE, personal protective equipment, masks, gloves, face shields, et cetera, gowns, so early on. And then that issue was just never tackled, even though Dr. Bright and others called the alarms. They knew this was going to endanger healthcare workers' lives. During his testimony, Dr. Bright said, from that moment, after he got no response from the HHS, he said, I knew we were going to have a crisis for our healthcare workers because we were not taking action. On the same day that he gave his testimony, Trump visited a medical supplies distributor in Allentown, Pennsylvania. I turned it, of course, into a campaign event. And he talked about all the equipment that was getting into the hands of healthcare workers and even boasted about how beautiful it was that they were, you know, going toward their deaths when they were treating COVID-19 patients. Is this to me just seems like it just a massive slap in the face of healthcare workers?
It is. It is a massive slap in the face. Healthcare workers are the ones who are literally on the front lines saving our lives right now. They're, when people need ventilators, they're there. When people are sick with a myriad of different illnesses, they are there to save our lives. And healthcare workers, if they're denied the ability to wear, to have these types of personal protective equipment, it's every single scientific study shows that they're more likely to get infected. And by infected, they're more likely to get to be out of their life-saving jobs, more likely to die. You know, this is not a small issue, and it's one that the Trump administration could play a more active role in. There's the Defense Production Act, an act that the government could allow companies or require companies to ramp up certain types of manufacturing. They could ramp up the production of masks, and yet for the most part they are not doing that. They're very timid on doing this thing that basically the vast majority of the public health community wants and says is required if we're going to be able to combat this virus.
One of the repeating themes during Dr. Bright's testimony, which has been echoed by a lot of other scientists, is that there is no comprehensive plan that the White House has adopted, and we are now months into this crisis. There is no comprehensive plan on how to tackle the virus. There are plans on how to reopen the economy. There's some vague plans about testing. There are some guidelines about how businesses should reopen or what guidelines they should meet, but there is no actual plan to take on the virus. And this was something that he was deeply disturbed by. He said there's still no master coordinated plan. And what the Trump administration has said to that is the Obama administration left us with no plans. The cupboard was bare. They didn't leave a game plan for us. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said they didn't leave a game plan for us. But there was actually a nearly 70-page document that the Obama administration left them. And also, the Trump administration could have developed their own plan. They've had 3 years to do so, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. It's there doesn't seem to be a person. Okay, let's put it this way. The White House has been issuing contradictory messages since day one of this pandemic. They have been claiming that it'll go away like a miracle, that it's not a big deal, that the numbers don't pay attention basically to this. And now they're shifting into saying, well, everything is covered, everything is fine, and we need to reopen the economy. These statements are not based on science. There are federal scientists who have been telling the CDC scientists, for instance, Dr. Fauci, others have been telling the administration for quite some time the consequences of not testing, of not doing contact tracing, or doing it in a diminished capacity, not ramping up those capabilities, I should say. There doesn't seem to be a concrete plan in place to listen to the scientists, and we keep seeing this ignoring of the scientists throughout their entire response. It's absurd.
You paraphrased Trump saying that early on that it would disappear like a miracle. On Friday, he sort of reiterated the same thing at an event designed to highlight the vaccine efforts. He said that the coronavirus will go away at some point, and that if we don't have a vaccine, we're going to be like so many other cases where you had a problem come in and it'll go away at some point. It'll go away. Trump has boasted about his scientific genius. And because he had an uncle who was apparently a science expert, he, seems to think that he understands these issues. And yet on Thursday, when he was visiting that mask distribution, medical equipment distribution facility in Pennsylvania, he made another remarkable statement where he said the reason the U.S. leads in cases of infections and deaths worldwide is because we're testing more than any other country. It's true, we have conducted more tests, but per capita, we've actually had fewer tests than other countries. But he's also claiming that infections are the result of tests. It's like saying you can't get, as one oncologist posted on Twitter, a great way to not get cancer is to not get screened for cancer.
Yeah, you're
just want to hit your head against the wall, don't you? Because that's what I felt like doing.
Yeah. This is the thing is, this is scientific research works when you don't know what you don't know. You have to conduct certain types of testing, for instance, or other types of data collection in order to figure out if there's a problem in place.
I mean, he doesn't seem to understand that diagnostic tools don't cause disease.
Yes, exactly. To give you an example of why, of one of the repercussions of not having as ramped up testing as we need to, is the fact that we're seeing evidence that ethnic minorities, of people of color, people from low-income communities, they are getting slammed by the virus in every single way possible that you can imagine. It is exacerbating long-standing inequities. They're dying by a larger proportion of the population that they represent in a lot of places. And we know this because some places are testing and capturing that data and telling the world about that. If we decide to keep limiting access to testing, we won't know how bad the problem is, especially for vulnerable communities.
Dr. Fauci's testimony earlier in the week on Monday to the Senate, he's literally been blocked from testifying to the House by Trump, which is yet another silencing of scientists. But he spoke it to the Senate while he was under quarantine. And he talked about the fact that schools, it's certainly too soon to talk about reopening schools. Republican Senator Lamar Alexander, basically was trying to suggest that it should be fine to consider reopening schools. Ironically, he said this while he himself was in quarantine. We know now that children can be affected. There's a rare disease showing up among some children who've gotten the coronavirus that can lead to very serious complications and death. But what do you make of the fact that after Dr. Fauci said that it was too soon to reopen schools, the next day Trump said that his answer was not acceptable. It was an unacceptable answer, he said.
It's just another example of the White House trying to, let's say, control the messages that federal scientists are trying to say to the American public about this pandemic. We've learned since late February that every single federal scientist, when they speak to the public on this pandemic, have to actually coordinate all their statements with the Office of the Vice President. So you're seeing, again, an example of the White House saying, no, you need to follow the clearance that you need to get, you need to have your messages cleared by us, more or less. And again, this is, and Dr. Fauci is saying things that are well established in the scientific community. This, that, the idea of reopening up parts of the economy and having higher infection rates was seen during the 1918 flu pandemic. It's a very real possibility. I'd even say a likelihood that this is going to occur. And it is very disturbing to see the White House say, and don't speak on this issue.
Let's also talk about how the entire approach to the United States, by the United States, by the Trump administration to this coronavirus has led to not just kind of confusion and chaos, but fueled conspiracy theories. It seems as though the Trump administration is, you know, deliberately encouraging its supporters to speak out and end the lockdown. And to do so, of course, they have to encourage misinformation. You have folks who are defying the lockdown, who are feeding into conspiracy theories that either the virus isn't a real thing, or it's not so fatal, or that if it were to run rampant through the United States, we would still have fewer deaths than the seasonal flu does, or that masks are dangerous because you can get carbon dioxide poisoning. You know, all of these theories and claims that are not backed by science. Do you hold the Trump administration at least partially responsible for the proliferation of such far-fetched unscientific thinking?
According to a lot of social scientists, when a major health crisis occurs, there's oftentimes a communal attempt to understand what is going on, and sometimes this information can be misinformation, can be technically incorrect. People are desperate to know what they need to do during a crisis situation. Now, it is to keep that in mind, but at the same time, we have the White House purposely stating things that are not facts, stating things that are not based on the science, stating things that seem to be that based on political considerations. We're seeing consequences of this. President Trump's musing about disinfectants, for instance.
Right. We haven't even talked about his suggestion that scientists should study injecting disinfectant into the body. I mean, I'm having a hard time just saying that out loud, but yeah.
Exactly. We have to see a slew of scientists and the people who manufacture those particular disinfectants say, please do not drink bleach, for instance, in order to cure COVID. And that can be directly attributed to the president's words. The president himself is saying words that could lead to people harming, even killing themselves. And that is our government is supposed to inform the American public. We should be informing the American public by telling them things that are based on the best available science.
There's also the issue of states having, you know, been put in charge of dealing with the virus, right? So initially, Trump claimed he had total authority about reopening the economy. Then he's essentially, after he realized that he didn't want to deal with the coronavirus because it's such a big issue, it's so daunting, and he clearly doesn't want to have to acknowledge that it's even a problem. He's left it up to states to decide what to do. And the CDC, which is the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, a very prestigious agency, you know, that the world has looked to and looked up to for years, has attempted to write guidelines for states on whether they can reopen, what they should first require before reopening. And we've now seen, according to media reports, that drafts of these detailed guidelines were just shelved, were censored by the Trump administration. And on Friday, the CDC released just a paltry set of very basic guidelines that do not even come close to helping states and individuals and institutions figure out how to reopen. It seems as though the CDC's sidelining has been one of the most concrete and most extreme examples of how the Trump administration has undermined science.
Thank you for pointing that out. That report in particular is... It was very distressing to hear that it was blocked. According to one CDC official, they were told by administration officials that this report, quote unquote, would never see the light of day. And again, this report was a step-by-step basis directed to local authorities on how to reopen up economies. So this, it would have diagram trees, for instance, and it was approved under every level of the CDC, as far as we know. And it is exactly the thing that states need in order to figure out what to do next. This is based on the best science. And you see, the CDC, as you pointed out, really is the organization that should be looked to for during these times. The CDC has had a wealth of knowledge on infectious diseases that goes back decades. They've traditionally been a major role in previous epidemics, a previous voice on what to do next. And yet what we're seeing is that they haven't had a press briefing in 2 months. They reporters are not able to contact them a lot of times. You're seeing only a few things from the CDC director at times, but otherwise the scientists have been silenced at the CDC from speaking directly to the public. You are not hearing the latest scientific information from the top scientists that that are supposed to help you during the situation. And it's probably a politically motivated silencing. This is not acceptable. The CDC should be heard from.
In fact, The Lancet, the world's leading, most prestigious medical publication, on Friday published an unusual op-ed. It was not signed, but it was much more political than I think most op-eds at The Lancet are. And it was entitled Reviving the U.S. CDC. And they did not mince words in what they saw as a total undermining of the CDC. How unusual was it for the CDC to say this? I mean, they even went as far as saying that that Americans should, basically vote Trump out. I'm sort of paraphrasing, but they said that Americans must put a president in the White House come January 2021 who will understand that public health should not be guided by partisan politics. I mean, it's pretty tough for scientists to get partisan. They really rely on being objective. But it seems as though the scientists at The Lancet felt compelled to say such a thing.
Yeah, scientists traditionally don't engage in advocacy campaigns. Scientists usually just want to do the best they can for their own work. I have to admit, I haven't seen that particular Lancet article, but if they're publishing it in that way, it indicates that there's some deep-seated fear about the way the U.S. government is responding to COVID-19, that it's responding in a way that is not the way that we should be responding. It's not following certain scientific guidelines that we should be following. That is incredibly worrisome, because every single day that we decide let's ignore the scientists, let's put them on the sidelines, it quite literally equals more death and suffering in the country. It's always been troubling when the Trump administration decides that scientists' voices should be ignored. And again, we have 140 examples of that, at least my organization has calculated. So the fact that right now they're doing that during a pandemic when people's lives are on the line, this just shows that ignoring experts comes at a cost, and it comes at a cost that we cannot ignore.
Anita, give out a website where people can find out more about the work you do, and especially those Americans who still believe that scientific guidance is what's needed to tackle this coronavirus might want to maybe share some resources with their friends and family members who believe it's all a big conspiracy.
Please come to the Union of Concerned Scientists website. We're trying to figure out ways to tell you the science and and call out the administration when we feel that they're not following the science. And unfortunately, that's been a very common problem during the pandemic and prior.
The website is ucsusa.org. Anita, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you again so much.
My guest has been Anita Desikan, research analyst with the Center for Science and Democracy at the Union of Concerned Scientists. We've been discussing how the Trump administration has been sidelining science during this pandemic, the worst possible mistake it could make. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.